Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live from the Quicken Loan Studios. National mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. Coming up this hour, how does Space Jam hold up more than 20 years later? I watched it in its entirety last night. There was an outdoor summer series once a week out in Prospect Park in Brooklyn, which is kind of like the Central Park of Brooklyn. They have a summer movie, so I decided, you know what? Beautiful night. Don't want to be sitting inside. Let me go out and watch Space Jam, and I will break it down in a retrospective form. How does it hold up coming up here in 17 minutes from now? I want to start in Alabama this hour with Nick Saban. Because at Alabama, players don't normally speak out. It's very much like the Patriots, very much like the Spurs. Keep everything in-house. Do not give anything to the media. The coach dominates those press sessions and teaches his club, don't give any oxygen to the fire. Now, Nick Saban downplayed Jalen Hurts' comments. Said that every player can express what he feels to coaches or anybody within the program, and that they allow players to have a voice, but also downplayed it, saying, you know what? What Jalen Hurts said is way more important to the media and the critics than it is to us, which is classic Saban, classic Belichick, classic Pop. You guys keep talking about it, but it's nothing that's any importance in here. You guys keep fighting over this one T-bone steak. We don't even care. We're eating our feasts, which is a good way to belittle and demean the people that think what is being spoken about or is happening around your program or team, saying that what they know, they don't know. They think it's important, but they're stupid. That's basically what he's saying. It's way more important to you guys. You guys sensationalize everything. That's a media creation. When in reality, Jalen Hurts openly criticized how the quarterback competition's going between him and Tua and how the coaches haven't spoken to him.
That was kind of taken out of proportion as well because it wasn't a conversation. It didn't go like that. Actually went and talked to him about his comments on if he didn't know if I'd be here for the first game. And we had a conversation about that, and I was kind of shocked that he said that.
So that is Jalen Hurts talking directly about Nick Saban. And that Nick Saban said at SEC Media Days he had no idea whether Jalen Hurts was going to be on the roster opening day. Why is this a big deal to Jalen Hurts? Because Jalen Hurts apparently has said, I will be here whether I'm the starter or the backup. I came here to play football. I came here to get my degree. I'm close to a degree. I want to complete my education. I'm not going anywhere. And then here is Nick Saban kind of opening up this can of worms of, well, I don't know. He might not be here. Instead of tamping it down. So Saban definitely opened up the door. And then people walked through it, broke it down, rushed into the room and said, what is going on here? There's no doubt there is a legitimate Alabama question here. Do you go with the guy that's been a long-term starter that has won a national championship and got you back to the national championship last year? Or do you go with the young dude that came into the second half of the national championship game, lit up Georgia's defense, and is younger and will be there for longer? Look, I think this is Tua all day. Because the long-term play here is you get Tua for more time than you have Jalen Hurts. And if one of the guys is going to transfer because he loses out of the job, you'd rather the guy that's older with less eligibility transfers rather than the guy that's younger that you can count on for another season after whatever this one would be. So I think it's pretty obvious Jalen Hurts is in a really difficult spot right now. If he loses the job, he's less valuable to Alabama. Heck, if he wins the job, just competing for the job, he's less valuable to Alabama. I'm surprised that any player would openly speak about Nick Saban. It just feels, at least in a critical fashion, it just feels like he definitely dominates everything and will not allow his players to speak off script, which is what Jalen Hurts did. You never hear a player take a shot at Nick Saban, ever. But maybe Nick Saban already knows that Tua's going to start, Jalen's feelings are going to be hurt, and that Jalen's dad's going to want him to transfer, which is all distinctly possible. I think for Alabama, they're so good and so deep and so strong and recruit so well and so well coached that when you talk about a crack in the armor, a fall from the top, you're not talking about much. It's a loss here or there. Maybe it's a loss in an SEC title game. Maybe it's a loss in the SEC West that means you can't get to the SEC title game like last year in the Iron Bowl. Maybe that means you lose in the first round of the college football playoff. I don't think it means four losses. But I do think that this quarterback situation is very unique for Alabama. It's very unique because we just don't have anything that's kind of openly contentious at Alabama within a Saban program outside of Saban's contentious relationship with the media. Outside of that, there's nothing that's ever contentious when it comes to Alabama or a Saban team, and this one is. I would be shocked if Tua is not starting week one. I would be shocked. I just think that it is so obvious where this thing is going, and understandably so because it's predictable. But if on September the 1st, lined up against Louisville, opening snaps, it's not Tua, I would be shocked. I wouldn't be surprised if there's a way that Saban keeps Jalen Hurts engaged and on the roster and on the team and not transferring by having a package for him or telling the guys that maybe they'll switch off because, look, maybe you don't want to throw too much at Tua's feet, and having two really good quarterbacks is better than just having one quarterback, even if one is not all that happy. But the way that this thing goes, I'd be very, very surprised. I would be shocked if against Louisville, Jalen Hurts is the starting quarterback. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Jason tweets, DA, please tell Mraz Idaho is the only state that borders five different states. You know, I think Tennessee might as well. I think it might, but I could be wrong on that.
Is that so?
If we can just cue up maybe the elevator music here, Pete the Body Bilotti, because before we went to break, we were talking about this potential trek to Idaho, to Boise, where we would do the show hypothetically. And Mraz doesn't really know where Idaho is on the map. He said it's probably in the middle somewhere, right? So he thought that maybe we could just drive there. Well, we can't. It's like a 36-hour drive. So cue the music here. And Mraz was trying to figure out what were the four states as part of the four corners, the four states that are all square with one another and they all border each other on the corner. So I think your first guesses were Arizona. You said Las Vegas, which is a city, not a state.
Right. We later learned that's Nevada.
You thought it was Arizona, Nevada, Montana.
Montana, definitely.
And what was the fourth?
Well, first I thought it was Idaho, and then I guessed the fourth that is now hitting me in the head, Utah.
Okay. So I've already given you Arizona's definitely in the four corners.
Okay.
And so which would you like to slide out? If you had to pick one of the other three to slide out.
Like making your final four picks before the year and then amending them midway through the season. I will remove... Well, I'm going to go with Utah now as my second.
Okay.
All right. You're not going to tell me if I'm right or wrong.
That would be correct.
Yeah, oh, it is correct.
Yeah, so you got two of them.
All right. I know based on this conversation off air that the Vegas, Nevada region is not one. So I need to slide that out. Which means I'm going to have to slide the other one out of Montana as well because you said I had two right. So Montana out, Nevada out. I need to get two more in there. I know it's not Iowa or Oklahoma. Those guys are closer to Texas.
Okay.
How about New Mexico?
That'd be correct. Very nice. Very nice.
All right. Wow. Now to the fourth. This is going to be tricky.
What if I told you Montana could be right?
Then then I'll go back. I'll put you Montana.
Okay, that would be your final answer.
Because I don't have another one, so I'm going to go Montana.
You would think that Montana perhaps borders Arizona. Now think about the topography of those two states.
I don't want to make myself look stupider, but I don't know what topography means.
Think about the climate of those two states.
Okay, I know Arizona's hot.
Right.
Is Montana cold?
You wouldn't know.
I would not know. I would not know. I know they do horse stuff there, so probably warm.
What is horse stuff?
Like equestrian and, you know, rattles and ranches and all that stuff.
Rattles? What's rattles?
Like, I'm sorry, cattles and ranches.
Cattles and ranches.
Yeah.
You thought it was rattles?
I don't know. It's a ranch. They do ranch stuff there, right?
They do. Okay, there's a lot of ranches in Montana.
It's like a horse town.
It's a horse. Well, it's a whole state.
Or the horse state. So you're okay. So by your inflection, I'm not going to fall into this trap. It's not warm like Arizona. So
no.
We're looking at a warm state.
Well, I'm just saying Montana is very far from being a hot state, any part of it. So I got to tell you, Montana's way north, and Arizona borders Mexico.
Okay.
So that's, I don't think you want to
go
there. Yeah,
but that's a big state. Okay. I think I know the state under Montana that might be it.
Okay.
Wyoming.
Okay. Not a terrible guess, but incorrect. You're right. It is in that Montana general area.
It's not Nevada. I know it's not Oklahoma. Is there another one in there? Missouri's more east.
Uh-huh.
We already know it's not Oregon.
I'm really still kind of caught at the Arizona-Montana thing because Arizona actually borders the southern border of Mexico with the United States, and Montana borders Canada. So you actually pick two states that are on the exact opposite side of the country.
Yeah, when you put it that way, I didn't realize Montana bordered Canada. I knew it was up in that district. I think, all right, I'm going to go with that whole area, although it doesn't make any sense for warmth.
Okay.
And I'm going to go Colorado.
Correct!
Yes, I got all four. Okay.
There you go. I mean, it took a while, but you were able to get there.
I was just trying to picture, you know, based on baseball divisions where everything was.
Okay. And how did you reach Colorado?
Well, I tried to think. I know the Rockies play in the NL West, but they're not on the same, you know, obviously Pacific Coast because the Rocky Mountains. And I figured mountains, middle, canyons, Arizona, and New Mexico. And Utah was my other guess. That's a mountainous district. Let me throw Colorado in there.
Okay. So that's a decent workshop there. That's a decent
It worked. We got there.
Logic. Yeah, we finally got there. So just so you know, Idaho borders Montana. Idaho borders Washington, not D.C., the state.
Seattle, Olympia.
Yeah.
Tacoma.
Borders Oregon. Borders Nevada. So it's out there. It's really far.
We're not driving.
We're not driving.
That's not happening.
We've learned that. When we come back, I saw Space Jam last night for the first time in 20 years. How does it hold up as a sports movie? That's next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
This year like last year, the best is right here on CBS.
It's the DA Show on CBS Sports Radio.
And happy Thursday to you, everybody. Remember, you can take us with you wherever you go. If you're outside of your normal listening area and not locked into your local affiliate, perhaps your local affiliate's not carrying us, that's okay. Download the CBS Sports app or radio.com. The radio.com app will carry us and the rest of CBS Sports Radio or Apple Music. So last night I had a really fun night. There is a summer series of films, mostly family films, being shown at one of the big parks in New York City, Brooklyn's Prospect Park. And I saw that Space Jam was on the docket. And I just said about a week ago, man, I could really go for an outdoor summer film. I grew up in a small town that had, still has, a drive-in movie theater. And I just always loved the drive-in. As a kid, I just thought it was the coolest thing ever to be outside while watching a movie. So I am partial to the outdoor movie experience. Obviously, it's not as comfortable. You don't have the concession stand right there. But they set up a makeshift screen in the middle of the park. And then people just brought their towels or their blankets. I brought a little beach chair to sit back and bring some food, snacks, a few adult beverages, perhaps.
How many beers ago? Probably 1,000.
People brought bottles of wine, things like this, and mostly a lot of kids out there watching it. And I just thought it was the coolest thing ever. Hot, humid night in New York City. Why be trapped in your apartment? Why not go out to a big, beautiful field and watch a little Space Jam? Now, Space Jam is over 20 years old. 1996 was when it was released. And Space Jam has taken on kind of a new cult following in a lot of ways. I mean, there's a lot of this conversation surrounding LeBron James doing the sequel, Space Jam 2. And for as great as Michael Jordan was basketball-wise, there is a part of his dominance in pop culture that has to be attributed to Space Jam. He was the superstar of a film that starred Bugs Bunny in the Looney Tunes cast. For kids at his apex, they could not only watch his basketball, but they could watch him in basically a cartoon. And he's the star of the cartoon, essentially. He is saving the Looney Tunes from being stuck at Moron Mountain, enslaved as basically amusement park employees. And he's got to take on the Monstars, who is a small ragtag group of aliens that suck the powers out of actual NBA stars, make them their own talents, and they are looking to dominate the Looney Tunes and then thus enslave them in an alien world called Moron Mountain. It's pretty amazing because through all of this, the idea, the concept's a pretty good one. The Looney Tunes laugh at these little aliens that are here to enslave them, and they laugh and they joke, and then the Looney Tunes have to be taken seriously, or have to take seriously the little itty-bitty aliens because they've got this ray gun that zaps Yosemite Sam and they get suddenly scared. But then Bugs Bunny tricks little aliens and tells them, we need to come together and we need to just talk about this, confer in the other room. And so the Looney Tunes say, okay, let's get a competition. We need a competition to beat them. And if we can beat them, then we win our freedom. Real interesting dynamic here. And they, because these little aliens are like a few inches from the ground, go, let's play a game of basketball. Okay. And the aliens agree, let's play basketball. Fine. Winner take all. But the aliens have a ray gun that can suck the powers out of NBA players. So it's a pretty amazing storyline. It's like the Looney Tunes thinks they got one over on the aliens, and the aliens get one over on the Looney Tunes, and then it's an oblique moment for the Looney Tunes. Bugs Bunny, Daffy Duck, Sylvester, the cat, everybody's going, uh-oh, now we got to play the Monstars, and we stink at basketball. This is no good. So they've got to bring in Michael Jordan, who is not playing basketball at the time. He's playing baseball because he's retired. And so he would not be one of the NBA stars that had their powers taken by the aliens, the Monstars. He'd be playing baseball, and he stinks at baseball. So the first thing that I thought about while watching back this movie, just as an overview, it's a great family movie. It's a quick runtime. It's like an hour and 25 minutes. Looney Tunes break up the boring action at times. It's not ever that boring because you have Looney Tunes, but if it ever sogs too deep into like the basketball stuff, there's Daffy Duck doing something funny, looking for the old gym shorts. There's a big dog involved, and it just moves, and it's fun, and it's funny. There's some good lines, and it's just a really good family film. Plus, it is of the mid-90s, so it's hysterical to see some of the fashion where most of Michael Jordan's outfits are baggy polo shirts, tucked into pants. You would never get away with Michael Jordan wearing baggy, long, kind of sleeved polo shirts tucked into tight slacks, but this is where we are in 1996. It also has an amazing soundtrack. An amazing soundtrack. I mean, R. Kelly, I Think I Can Fly, the Space Jam theme song itself. There's a lot of jock jams on there as well. The film also moves because the music is very, very good. And when you think of R. Kelly in 1996, you are thinking of Space Jam. So here are my three big takeaways on how Space Jam looks 21 years later. Number one. I'm sorry, I'm just taken aback by this song. It's so good. First of all, Newman is in Space Jam as Podolak, the publicist, the stumbling, bumbling buffoon. Newman is basically in every massive 90s hit ever. He plays Newman in Seinfeld. He plays Podolak in Space Jam. And he's the guy that gets killed in Jurassic Park by the dinosaur that spits the oil.
The falafel raptor.
He is in everything. I mean, would you ever think that of all of the Seinfeld characters, he would have the most lasting pop culture influence and footprint?
Well, that's what happens when you're the fifth star, not the main star. It allows you not to be typecasted.
Number two, if Michael Jordan does not retire from basketball, is Space Jam ever made? Because the whole bit here is that Michael Jordan isn't playing basketball, so he has time to help out the Looney Tunes. And thus, he's out of the radar for the Monstars to steal his talent. If Michael Jordan does not retire from basketball the first time around, I don't think Space Jam is ever made, which makes me wonder, what could the hook be for LeBron James' Space Jam 2 unless he retired? You had to have Michael Jordan in this away from basketball bit to make this thing work.
That's an amazing point. I didn't realize that. So because Michael Jordan retired, we got Space Jam and two Rockets NBA championships.
Yes.
All three of those things may not exist had he never retired.
Absolutely correct. Because I don't know, maybe he had time to film a movie when he wasn't playing basketball, but it is a central point of this script. Because Michael's playing baseball, he isn't on the floor for the Monstars to steal his talent, and thus he can walk away from baseball and save basketball. He saves basketball.
He's a hero.
He really is an absolute hero
in that spot.
Also, when you really go back and look at all of the accolades and accomplishments of Michael Jordan's career to make him the greatest basketball player ever, obviously six titles is amazing. Obviously the MVPs are amazing. The slam dunk competitions are amazing. But honestly, saving basketball and Looney Tunes has to be number one. Why is this not talked about more? In the great Michael Jordan-LeBron debate, we keep going back to six titles versus three. Six titles versus three. He was only on one team. I'm going back to, well, Michael saved the Looney Tunes. So that's got to make him number one over LeBron.
LeBron stood up fans at a pizza party. Michael Jordan saved the Looney Tunes. That's the argument right there.
Save the Looney Tunes. Also, I thought it was fascinating that at the end, how does the Toon Squad win? Well, first off, they're getting smashed in the first round, in the first half. I mean, the Monstars are killing them. I think it's 66-13 at half.
A lot of foul trouble.
It's impossible usually to come back from a 66-13 deficit, especially before the three-point shot was really a huge part of the NBA's offense. I mean, maybe the Rockets could get back in, the Warriors could get back into a game 66-13, but in 1996, it was a very difficult deficit to make up. At that point in time, Bugs convinces the locker room, I've got the special sauce, Michael Jordan's water bottle. Even though it's just water, he convinces the team, hey, drink some of this and you've got strength. So the Looney Tunes go out there in the second half and think that they've got Michael Jordan's talent. And they start playing really well. I mean, Lola Bunny has some great moves to the hoop. She was excellent. She really had dexterity. Also, I mean, you saw some really, I thought, creative offense, a Mike D'Antoni type of offense where Pepe Le Pew is just smelling up the Monstars. They're distracted.
Innovative.
Daffy Duck also has some strong moves to the hoop that can't be blocked. I thought just offensively, they really were far more multiple and varied in the second half than they were in the first half.
and a deeper bench. You know, the Monstars only sucked five powers down. That's where they got killed. There was no rest for them. They're playing all 48. Deep bench for the Toon Squad.
Absolutely, because they bring Newman off the bench and then ultimately bring Bill Murray off the bench.
And did he need the paycheck for that movie?
So I thought, interestingly, at the end, Michael Jordan espouses team. In the last couple of minutes, they're trailing by that one point. I think it's 71-70 or something like that with a couple of seconds left. And he goes, you guys had the ability the entire time. That wasn't a real secret special water. You guys are able to do this. It's about team. Also, before the game, Michael tells the guys, let's just go out there and have fun. These are two things that are never attributed to Michael Jordan. Team and let's just have fun. Like, not a cutthroat competition. So I thought Michael maybe was playing the role of what he thought he should be for kids. But Michael, never known for teamwork and let's just have fun, both of those things are a crucial component of the Toon Squad winning. And then finally, how about the five players that the Monstars take their talent from? Larry Johnson, very good player in 1996 before back problems. Charles Barkley, obviously, elite player, MVP, etc. They go with Patrick Ewing, also great superstar in 1996, on the backside of his career, but still very good, only 2 years removed from the finals. The last two picks are questionable at best by the Monstars. They go Muggsy Bogues. Again, good player, not great. I mean, in 96, I think you're looking at Marbury, Iverson, J. Kidd, if you're running the point. Number two, Sean Bradley? Why did the Monstars want Sean Bradley's talent? It is amazing that the Monstars messed this so dramatically. They are scanning the NBA for the best players. They take Charles and Ewing, two future Hall of Famers, LJ, who looked like a superstar, but they take Sean Bradley's talent, which ultimately could have been their undoing. Because had they taken a better player, an Olajuwon, a David Robinson as a big man underneath, even a Shaq, I think the Monstars end up winning. But instead, they took Sean Bradley's talent. I think that is basically the undoing of the roster. It's a bad GM move by the Monstars.
Yeah, and I just quickly Googled the 96 All-Star rosters. Neither of those guys on it. You're missing Hakeem Olajuwon, maybe an Alonzo Mourning there instead of a Sean Bradley.
Absolutely.
And can we get Clyde Drexler maybe playing a little guard instead of Muggsy Bogues? Bad job all around. Roster building, not the strong suit. Up on Moron Mountain.
Excellent movie, though. Highly worth the rewatch, and I'm very happy that he did. And when the Toon Squad ends up winning and Michael Jordan puts in the final basket, sorry, spoiler alert, 21 years later, the crowd goes crazy. I'm sitting outdoors in a field, and the crowd goes nuts. Probably about 500 people there going crazy. I thought, this is great. This is a better New York basketball scene than any Knicks or Nets game. This was fantastic. When we come back, we've got your sound check, your best audio of the day, including Jaylen Brown guaranteeing a finals appearance. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Good value, big upside.
DA, if you and I could sit and watch the 1978 World Series.
Yes!
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Brian Kenny, MLB Network, wants to watch the 78 World Series with me. I'm in.
Oh, okay.
How about that?
Remember, the DA show is on SiriusXM, channel 206. If you're outside your normal listing area, perhaps your local affiliate's not carrying us, you can catch us on SiriusXM, channel 206. Justin Thomas, coming off of a great win this past weekend, gets ready to defend his title as the world's best, including Tiger, Phil, DJ, J-Day, Ricky, and Rory, all eyed the prestigious Wanamaker Trophy, the season's final major, the 100th PGA Championship this weekend on CBS. We'll get to your best audio of the day coming up here in mere moments, including one of the Boston Celtics already guaranteeing they are winning the East this year. Our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by GEICO. Everyone, there's a quick way you could save money switching to GEICO. Need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too? Get it all, geico.com. Steven's in Houston listening to 650 to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Steve?
Hey, good morning, guys. I just wanted to say thanks for the show.
I love listening to you guys. When, you know, doing your intro song, sometimes even if I'm going into a meeting, I'll pop the radio on just to hear that song. When that organ kicks in, it's magical. But I wanted to talk about the Space Jam. I think it goes without saying, you know, Moron Mountain was up against the salary cap. That's why they couldn't get those other guys. Mm. But I wanted to ask you, does it make any sense to you that because of the time that's passed between Michael's reign and now LeBron playing, does that make it seem like LeBron is entering into that greatest player? Does it kind of vault him into that conversation because he's present? Watching Space Jam, did it remind you of how great Michael was? I'll take your comment, Bob Lyon.
That's a good question, Steve. That's a really good question. I think LeBron James, like any player, any coach, any athlete, will always benefit from recency bias. I think any team, any player, any coach, everything we talk about, every debate that is in sports leans towards the recent because it's the most recent thing we've felt, we've had the emotion of, that we've witnessed. And the fact is, especially with technology where it is, our phones the way that it is, attention spans are shorter than ever before, so we just don't remember. I mean, people that really want to dismiss Joe Montana as the greatest quarterback of all time really just don't remember Joe Montana. I'm not going to sit here and tell you Tom Brady doesn't have an argument there, because he certainly does. But I hear people laugh or guffaw or simply push Montana out of the way only because Brady has more championships. If you were watching Joe Montana in 84 or 88 or 89, if you go back today and watch Joe Montana games, the 89 NFC Championship game, the 89 Super Bowl, the 88 Super Bowl, and the final two-minute drill against the Bengals, you realize what an incredible surgeon, above and beyond anything we'd ever seen at that point in time from a quarterback standpoint. And so, yes, I do think LeBron benefits right now from some people that say he's the greatest because he's playing right now. But I also think, objectively speaking, historically speaking, LeBron has an argument. I still put Michael slightly ahead of LeBron, but it is true when you go back and you put yourself in the shoes of 1996 and you recognize and realize just how dominant he was at that point in time, yeah, it's absolutely true that guys that play now or things that happen now are almost always benefited versus things that happened before, because some people never saw those things and some people just choose to forget those things. But I think it's fair. Moron Mountain might have been up against the salary cap. But in that case, if you're trying to dominate the Toon Squad, taking Sean Bradley at your center is just a disaster right there. Brandon's next up in Pennsylvania, listening to 96.5 to CBS Sports Radio. What's up, Brandon?
Morning, fellas. Hey, do me a favor. I'm heading into a meeting at the Department of Transportation, so please, for God's sakes, beam me up.
Yes, sir. Yeah, you need it.
Thank you so much. Hey, one thing you forget in the whole Newman debate here, that fat bastard shows up in Basic Instinct. He's got a bit part in the famed interrogation scene looking at Sharon Stone when she crosses her legs. The guy did it all.
It's so true. I had forgotten about his Basic Instinct appearance until it was brought up by some of the tweeters. And you're right. I mean, think about the 90s iconic roles that Newman shows up in. Obviously, Newman from Seinfeld. He gets killed by a dinosaur in Jurassic Park. He is MJ's publicist and a Toon Squad member in Space Jam and is in Basic Instinct. I mean, it's hard to have that hit list of any of the Seinfeld cast. Jason Alexander didn't have that, Costanza. Even Jerry didn't really.
You're forgetting Dunstan checks in for Jason Alexander. Big spot.
You know, Kramer obviously had very little afterwards. Career kind of went downhill after the stand-up act that went very poorly.
We'll just call it the incident.
The incident. He was in UHF, which is a tremendous 80s movie.
They tried a Michael Richards show on his own.
The Michael Richards show, right?
I think it was the Michael Richards show. Woof. Bad. Four episodes, everybody was out.
Yeah. Now, Elaine had the best run because Julia Louis-Dreyfus had SNL before Seinfeld, then moved on to, was it
It was a show that was popular for a while.
I want to say Caroline in the City, but it wasn't.
No, it's not Caroline in the City, but
that's obviously not her. Obviously ends up with Veep. Veep is an amazingly hysterical HBO show and has had this incredible lasting power because she still looks phenomenal. Now her son played college basketball, so she's in the middle of March Madness.
Adventures of Old Christine.
Adventures of Old Christine.
And she was in Christmas Vacation.
And that's right. So out of all of these Seinfeld characters, really, Julie Louis-Dreyfus had the best because she carried multiple shows. But Newman, for a bit player, I mean, is amazing. I think you'd also have to say Papa Costanza because George's dad ends up having a Jerry Stiller, ends up having an amazing career outside of just Seinfeld.
Well, he does back-to-back playing father roles on two of the longest-running sitcoms in television in the 90s into the early 2000s of Seinfeld into Arthur Spooner on King of Queens.
Right. That's an amazing run for him.
He can go to the Hall of Fame for either show. Think about that.
That's an amazing run.
We don't know what cap he's going to wear.
And his son is Ben. So he's created another Hollywood star.
Like Vlad Guerrero Jr.
It really is.
First ballot.
Really is. All right, let's get to your best audio of the day.
CBS presents this program in color.
An educated person can't think he's going to get a recruit by strippers coming in.
They can fire you, but they can't eat you.
And they run through our ass like through a tin horn, man, and we could not stop them.
The audio you need to hear. It's DA Soundcheck.
Nick Saban weighing in on Jalen Hurts' comments about the quarterback competition.
My comments were, you know, every player has a right to express what he feels and what he thinks. And I think he has every right to do that with every coach or anybody in the organization that he has relationships with, which, you know, we certainly do quite often with all players at all positions. But, you know, look, this is probably a lot more important to people outside this organization than it is to people inside. I don't think this has any effect on our team. I've talked to a lot of the team leaders. You know, the players are focused on what they need to do. The rhetoric will not have anything to do with who's the quarterback.
If there is a program that can withstand something like this, it's definitely Alabama. And the interest is heightened because it's Alabama in a quarterback competition. But as I said earlier in the hour, it's very rare for there ever to be any controversy around Alabama, and this is a pretty legit one. And I think that Jalen Hurts is going to be odd man out and being the second-string quarterback when they play Louisville in a couple of weeks. And I wonder how Jalen is going to handle that. Jaylen Brown, member of the Celtics, on the pull-up podcast.
Oh, we're getting to the finals. No question about it. But I hate how everybody's like, oh, LeBron's gone in the East. I know he did have a stronghold on the East for the last 7 years, but he barely got up out of there this year. And our mindset was like, man, He's not beating us again. And that's what our mindset was. Like, we had a bunch of young guys who could really play, and we didn't back down from nobody, you know. And a lot of teams did, you know. A lot of teams got caught up into this, caught up into that. And we just came out and played basketball, and that's what we do. At the end of the day, it doesn't matter if we are the favorite in the East or we're predicted to win 10 games in the East. You got to come out and play.
So I like Jaylen Brown a lot, and he's obviously been a phenomenal draft pick by Danny Ainge. And LeBron did bounce out of the East, so now he can't be taken down by the Celtics in the Eastern Conference. But I think it's really premature for Jaylen Brown just to say, oh, no doubt we're going to the finals. I mean, this is kind of what we hate about the Golden State Warriors, that it seems so predictable. And I know that the Celtics haven't been there yet, but I think you need to at least do it before you're guaranteeing it. And I know you have confidence, and the Celtics are the favorite to come out of the East. But the Celtics could become incredibly unlikable if they all just start guaranteeing and have that arrogance that they're definitely coming out of the East. They'll be an easy team to root against. And finally, Paul Nanos here on CBS Sports Radio over the weekend, taking a shot at our show.
We also had some sports history while you were gone.
Okay.
You want to call it a sport? We had a Triple Crown winner in horse racing. Justify won the Triple Crown. Now, the real question is, do you think he knew that he won it?
Again, I've heard shows on this network steal my bit. I don't want to
you know, call anybody out at the DA show, but I've heard people steal my bit. That's all I'm going to say. How could it happen? Just go ahead.
Amazing broadcast chops shown by Paul Nanos right there. Was that a full thought? Was that answering the question?
I don't know where he was going with it, but I left it all in.
That actually was not from over the weekend. That was from Triple Crown weekend.
No, it was not. Nanos returned to the air this weekend for a one-time special, so they did a bit. The eight things you've missed since the last time you were on CBS Sports Radio.
So, Nanos's bit was, did the horse know it won? Meantime, we've been doing this for quite a number of years. It's always been a take of mine. And when did Nano start on the network?
2016.
You're sure of that?
It's the 2015-16 era, but it was after the horse racing of 2015. The first Triple Crown he was around for was 2016.
So he's going to say that the first time we did the horse know it won bit was after 2016. I got to imagine in 13, 14, or 15, we can dig up out of the archive that we did that segment.
I'm looking for it. We did.
Nano, shots fired. It's tough from such a polished broadcast veteran. It is tough to hear that type of friendly fire.
Getting those reps.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.